"London at last!" cried Nicholas, throwing back his greatcoat and rousing Smike from a long nap. "It seemed to me as though we should never reach it." They rattled on through the noisy, bustling, crowded streets of London, now displaying long double rows of brightly burning lamps, dotted here and there with the chemist's glaring lights, and illuminated besides with the brilliant flood that streamed from the windows of the shops, where sparkling jewellery, silks and velvets of the richest colours, the most inviting delicacies and most sumptuous articles of luxurious ornament succeeded each other in rich and glittering profusion. Streams of people, apparently without end, poured on and on, jostling each other in the crowd and hurrying forward, scarcely seeming to notice the riches that surrounded them on every side, while vehicles of all shapes and makes, mingled up together in one moving mass like running water, lent their ceaseless roar to swell the noise and tumult. As they dashed by the quickly changing and ever-varying objects, it was curious to observe in what a strange procession they passed before the eye. Emporiums of splendid dresses, the materials brought from every quarter of the world. Tempting stores of everything to stimulate and pamper the sated appetite and give new relish to the oft-repeated feast. Vessels of burnished gold and silver, wrought into every exquisite form of vase and dish and goblet. Guns, swords, pistols, and patent engines of destruction. Screws and irons for the crooked, clothes for the newly born, drugs for the sick, coffins for the dead, churchyards for the buried. All these, jumbled each with the other, and flocking side by side, seemed to flit by in motley dance like the fantastic groups of the old Dutch painter, and with the same stern moral for the unheeding, restless crowd. Nor were there wanting objects in the crowd itself to give new point and purpose to the shifting scene. The rags of the squalid ballad singer fluttered in the rich light that showed the goldsmith's treasures. Pale and pinched-up faces hovered about the windows where was tempting food. Hungry eyes wandered over the profusion guarded by one thin sheet of brittle glass, an iron wall to them. Half-naked, shivering figures stopped to gaze at Chinese shawls and golden stuffs of India. There was a christening party at the largest coffin makers, and a funeral hatchment had stopped some great improvements in the bravest mansion. Life and death went hand in hand. Wealth and poverty stood side by side. Repletion and starvation laid them down together. But it was London!